Welcome to Nick's podcast, The Insanity of God. We pray that God will bless you in what you're about to hear.
And once they realize, you know, this is not about making money off of persecuted people. This is not feeling sorry for them. We're wanting to sit at their feet and say, please teach us, not only as I'm relating to you, not only how do you live out the faith, but in essence, who is Jesus? What does it mean to have resurrected power in your life and have a Bible that's in present active tense? I felt more in danger by that than I did by the bullets in Somalia. Because one could just kill me for a period of life. The other had so much eternal significance. And after I hear stories like that and my interpreter understands what I'm looking for, he says, I'll pick you up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. I says, where we're going? He said, I'm going to tell you, but I'll pick you up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so they picked me up at 5 o'clock from this hotel. We arrived after a five-hour trip at this very small house, one bedroom for the three kids and one for the husband and the small room. And this old man meets us at the door. And if I had to guess his age, I'd say 100. And as I started to interview him, I found out he was 63 years of age. And they had put him in prison for 17 years. And they had used him up. Listen, one of the things that believers in persecution tell us, don't you ever think that persecution is fun. You know, we are finding victory in Jesus through this, but this is blood. This is sweat and tears. This is separation from family. So he said, Nick, come in and sit here. Sit at this chair. This is the spot where I was standing teaching the Bible when I was arrested and sent to prison for 17 years. You know, I've been in Africa for two decades, and I don't want to sit in that chair, you know. I want to sit somewhere else. And he makes me sit right here, and he begins to tell the story of being an engineer and his wife a school teacher, and how his kids were in the government school, and he was in the government factory, and how over a period of time, pastors were compromised and churches were closed. And now for them, the nearest church is 3 days away. Now, how often would you go to church if you had to walk 3 days, especially through the snow? And so they got to where they go, you know, Easter, Christmas, and maybe for a wedding or a funeral or something like that. And you can't go to your communist boss and say, hey, I want a week off from work. Why? I want to go to church. That goes over really well. And so one day, in fear and trembling, this brother, whom I'm now listening to his story, said to his wife, "Now, don't get angry at me. Don't think I'm stupid. Just be patient with me. But our boys are growing up with no religious training, little religious training, because the nearest church is 3 days' walk away. And don't think I'm stupid. I'm not a pastor. This is not a church. But what would you think if I would just once or twice a week get the boys together and read the Bible to them?" Now, his wife had been praying for years that he would step up and be a spiritual leader. But you know, our wives are too smart to say, hey, dummy, I've been waiting for you forever. She does. You know how they do us. Oh, honey, you're so spiritually astute, and I don't know how you have such depth of perception, and you're so close to God. I think this would be a wonderful idea. It's like they say in Africa, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck, and she can make that head go anywhere she wants to. And so he starts reading the Bible to his kids, and he does a terrible job. But as time goes on, they began to learn the stories and tell the stories to each other and interact with the stories. And kids say, Daddy, can we sing these songs when we go to real church? And then they would just naturally pray for each other and pray for the neighbors. And the neighbors got to watching this. And they came to this man of God and said, can we come and study the Bible? And he said, no, I'm not a pastor. I've had no training. This is not a church building. You see, the image of Christianity he had in his mind was so rigid and so building and so clergy and so literate and all of that orientated. He couldn't even study the Bible in his own house. And he says, but I'm not a pastor. And he says, we're just singing and praying and reading, talking about the Word. And he said, well, that's all we want to do. When it got to be 25 people in this small house, the KGB came. Scared our brother to death. And it's not what you think. They did threaten him physically, but what terrified him, they looked at him and said, you have started an illegal church. And you would have been amazed how your brother got into the face of the KGB. You just don't do this. But they terrified him so much, he got in their face and he said, how dare you say something like this? I'm not a pastor. This is not a church. How dare you call this a church? All we are doing is studying the Bible. All we are doing is singing. All we are doing is praying. All we are doing is giving money to poor people and hungry people and helping people in the community. How dare you call this a church? And the KGB said, well, I don't know what you call this, but it looks like it's church to us. One of the things that Ruth and I found that have shocked us throughout persecution, that is almost a principle of persecution, is that the persecutors know what God is doing long before believers know what God is doing, because they are threatened by Him. They're watching for Him to show up. They don't want to lose their power, and most believers don't believe that God is actually going to do what God has promised to do. And so the KGB said, this looks like church to us. And if you don't stop this, bad things will happen. When it got 50 people in the house worshiping during the week, they fired him. Now listen to this. They fired him from his job. They fired his wife from the school. They kicked his kids out of school. And he said to me, and I quote, little things like that, end quote.
Thanks for listening. If you want to know more about our ministry, just go to nickripkin.com.